Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Shit 90 shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Oh, Jess, I am doing pretty well today. I am a fool that rushes in to love myself. But I'm really, really, really happy to be here and talk about this movie with you today. And then, of course, remember one of our nearest and dearest.
Yeah. So obviously this movie, you know, we're in Winnovember and still content to come on that end. We haven't forgotten. We are going to cover a Winona Ryder movie.
Yeah, Edward Scissorhands won the poll.
It did. So we're going to be covering Edward Scissorhands. But of course, anybody probably saw the news about Matthew Perry and his passing. And I know you and I, Sarah, like, you know, I feel like anybody who likes any sort of 90s content or honestly doesn't even have to like 90s content to like know Matthew Perry and his influence, especially I would say in the comedy genre, most notably on Friends as Chandler Bing. Like, he is just this megastar that really popped off in the 90s. And I know I said to you, Sarah, that like, to me, this celebrity passing is kind of the biggest one that has hit me since Robin Williams, just in terms of the nostalgia, in terms of how I feel like the character of Chandler Bing influenced the way I see humor in comedy. And so we felt like we couldn't let this go by without us covering something that Matthew Perry was in. And Sarah, you had reached out to me because I was on vacation. So it was kind of a whole weird sequence of events. So we're a little late in doing this, but we didn't want to completely let it slide by. You had said someone reached out to us on Twitter.
And So we got a tweet from Angelica Garcia Ditta at _ Angelica Carmen. And she said, y'all. Yes, she did, y'all. I love
it. She yelled us.
Y'all should cover Fools Rush in honor of Matthew Perry. It's underrated and adorable. And I thought that was a great suggestion. And I was like, yeah, that's great. When you get back from vacation, Jess, I think that we should do it. And, you know, you and I have covered Friends episodes and we've talked to an extent about, you know, our feelings on Friends. And, you know, we're citing Friends, even though he's done, Matthew Perry's done a lot of work. I know that he said that he wants his legacy to be remembered about his like struggle with addiction and hoping that people like see that and relate to him and, you know, better themselves in that regard. Mm-hmm. But it's just being a 90s kid, it is so hard to not associate Matthew Perry with Friends and Chandler. Mm-hmm. And I know that both of us really had like a special place in our hearts for Friends growing up. We both watched it while it was on TV. We both watched reruns. Aside from Phoebe, I've always liked Phoebe, Chandler, especially as an adult, has been my favorite character. And mm-hmm. that seems to be the sentiment amongst the board. Like when I look at what people say online, as well as different polls that I've found, Chandler is the most likable, the most funny, and the most light. Wait, no, I said likable. He's the best character. Like he's the one that like you want mm-hmm. to always root for. Like everybody else is kind of like can be annoying or have character flaws, but Chandler is always light. And I am so firm in believing it's Matthew Perry's natural charisma and likability that comes out and imbues the character of Chandler. Like it's mm-hmm. I think that like we saw the creator of Friends, Martha Kaufman, say on Twitter, it's like, you know, Matthew Perry came in and like nobody else could play this role. Like it was yeah. like all Matthew Perry. So and we see it in Fools Rush In as well. Like he just has this like natural charisma about him, this likability, this natural like comedy. You know, he doesn't try hard, right? Like it's not like it's just him. It's just his personality. It's just his inflections and how he says things
yeah.
and his facial expressions and his like movements. He's just a naturally hilarious person, and it's just such a loss to lose him. I believe he was like 54 years old or 53.
Yeah,
along those lines. My father died when he was 54.
Yeah, it's he was 54 years old. It's really, yeah. it's a really, really sad story. Yeah, there was an apparent drowning in his home in Los Angeles, and his assistant found him. It's really awful, obviously way, way, way too young. And especially when you consider all of the hurdles and kind of battles he fought throughout his life, his battles with addiction. And that is, like you said, he had a quote, like, when I die, I don't want friends to be the first thing that's mentioned. I want helping others to be the first thing that's mentioned. And I'm going to live the rest of my life proving that addiction is far too powerful for anyone to defeat alone. But together, one day at a time, we can beat it down. And mm-hmm. we can link the Matthew Perry Foundation .org that was kind of formed in his honor after all of this happened. And the thing that when this news broke, you know, I had a conversation with my husband and I said, I understand like where he's coming from when he says that. But I also think when he says helping others, that's what he wants to be mentioned. I think that you can tie that to Friends in so many ways, because I know for me and for so many other people, Friends is their like chicken soup. Friends is their chicken soup show, where when I was a kid and I was feeling sick and I was home, Friends is a show that I would put on. And Chandler is a huge part of why that show is so funny. And he's the character that most people point to because he's so sarcastic and witty and like has these one-liners. Most of the times he's the character who's making you laugh out loud so much. And so I think there are so many things that help people, you know, and I think that escapism and laughing is a huge part of that. And so like, obviously, you know, he's gone now, but like, I do think his legacy, I don't think it should be just looked at as one thing or the other. Like Friends continues to help so many people to this day. And I yeah. think that's just like, just a massive, massive part of his legacy. And so, yeah, we wanted to cover something in his honor, being that he is just like this huge, huge star of the 90s. And Fools Rush In was suggested, and I don't remember. I know we talked a little bit about this, Sarah, but like Fools Rush In, I've seen it. I've seen it a few times. It wasn't like one of my go-tos, but I certainly remembered like the entire premise and that it had Matthew Perry and Salma Hayek. And so I generally remembered the idea of the movie and that it was a cute rom-com. Now remind me, have you seen this movie before?
No, today was the first time I've ever watched it. I'm familiar with the Elvis Presley song.
Yeah, and I love this.
Falling in Love. This is actually, I mean, like, oh gosh, like, I don't know why, but like, that song just like makes me cry. Like, it's one of those like only song, one of those songs out there that just like really like tugs at my heartstrings, mm-hmm. and it just makes me weep. I don't know why. It's just such like a sweet sentiment. I think my favorite line from that song is like, take my hand, take my whole life too. I can't mm-hmm. stop, can't help falling in love with you. It's just like so romantic. And I was waiting the entire movie for them to play the song, and I knew it had to at the credits. Like, I knew it had to, but I was like, I just want to hear the song.
Yeah, it's a classic song. I love, like, there's a lot of movies, especially in the 80s and 90s, named after songs. Like, Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey. Like, there's a lot of those types of movies. But the entire premise of this movie is kind of wild and surprising. It ages, like, not always super well, but, like, I feel like the thought behind it is always there. Like, it's just very interesting where you have Alex, who is Matthew Perry. He's like comes from New York City. He's a project manager. He's in Las Vegas, basically supervising the construction of this like new nightclub.
Boulevard or BLVD, which I think is supposed to be Boulevard.
Yeah. And he like comes from this very like waspy background. Like, his parents are rich and from Connecticut. And it's funny actually, because his dad is played by his like IRL dad, Matthew Perry's father. Mm-hmm. And he meets Isabel Fuentes, who is a Mexican-American photographer, and she's like from Las Vegas. She lives in Nevada with her entire like a massive family, and they have one night together. And then I love that this movie is just like, okay, boom, 3 months later, like, here we are.
yeah. I mean, it totally tracks. I was like, I didn't know anything about the premise going in, but as soon as we jumped to 3 months later, I was like, oh, I think that this is where we're going. And
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I'm glad that they had a good night together. Like, their meet cute was really cute. Yeah. They had natural chemistry right away. They're at a diner. I don't know why Matthew Perry, or Alex rather, was eating so many dishes of food at that diner. But did you see, like, the table was like filled with like 20 dishes and he was just eating by himself? I was like, at first I was like, what is this guy, really like hungry. A food critic?
No, he's just really hungry.
He's just really hungry. So yeah, they're waiting in line for the bathroom, and it seems as though Isabel was engaged to be married, and she was practicing how to like blow off the engagement to, yes. I think it was probably Lacey, her best friend at the time she was on the phone with, and her roommate. And then she wants to cut in line to the bathroom. And of course, like a pretty lady asking Matthew Perry, Alex, I'm going to have to stop calling him Matthew Perry. I do this all the time. I'm just like, yeah, like Marshall from.
You really do. It's just like, but it's certain, it's a credit to that actor that like that's who you associate with them, you know what I mean? Like, you just can't help it.
Yeah, totally. So he lets them cut in line, and the next thing we know, they have a spicy night.
Yeah, a one night stand
multiple times.
And I just love how she's like, I never do this. You know what I mean? She's just like, this is not what I do.
Yeah.
So it's 3 months later that she approaches him, and we get the idea. Like, I think it's a little strange at first, because we have this moment where like he's in whatever those, I don't know what the hell those are. Those like construction mobile home type of offices.
Yeah.
And the blonde woman comes in and he like hides from her. And in my opinion, I didn't remember who she was. Like, she's a fellow waspy person from Connecticut.
Yeah, Kathy Stewart, played by Suzanne Snyder.
Yeah. She's very like, her family's friends with his family. And like, it very much feels like, oh, their families were always pushing them together, always assuming they were going to get together and get married and have kids, have little waspy blonde haired children. And he's like hiding from her. And I felt like the way they played it, I was thinking he's like a fuckboy. Like, I was thinking he is like a guy who like sleeps with someone and then never calls them again. You know what I mean? That was how they portrayed him, I thought, at the beginning of the movie.
In the beginning, yeah, I thought so too, especially his best friend Tom. I think his name was Tom. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, they were just guys about town. They were bachelors. So, yeah, like, I think that they probably hooked up and maybe he led Kathy on sometimes or, you know, maybe slept with her a time or two, but mm-hmm. didn't seem very interested in her and was trying to actively hide away. And then we see, you know, Alex is definitely like a young professional. Like, he's been focusing on his job and going up the corporate ladder for a while now. And he definitely takes like his career very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. And it definitely is a wicked surprise where he's hosting, I think it was Aunt Helga or Aunt Zelda from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
One of the aunts.
I forget which aunt.
I want to say it was Zelda.
Yeah, I always like forgot which aunt was which. But one of the aunts from Sabrina is like some also rich, like flirty older lady trying mm-hmm. to hit on everybody. But they're hosting them, trying to get things moving in the construction site. And then Miss Selma Hayek, who plays Isabel, comes busting right in and is like, "Hi, I'm pregnant. Thought you should know."
Yeah, she's just like, "I thought it was the right thing to do." And then, again, the way like, to be fair to Alex, the way she says, like, "I've already made a decision on what I'm going to do." Like, I forget the way she words it, but the way she words it does make it sound like she's going to get an abortion. And of course, Alex jumps to conclusions and he's like, "I'm very pro woman's choice, like whatever you need to do."
Wow, woman's right, king. We love to see it. Yeah, we stand somebody that chooses pro-choice.
And I love how when she first says it, he's like, "Oh, congratulations." He has like no idea that like it's his. And so she's like, "Well, I am going to like raise the baby alone. Like, I just wanted to let you know." And this is very interesting. I want to know what your thoughts are on, you know, Isabel says she's already made the plan. She's going to raise the baby, but she wants Alex to meet her family so that like 6 months down the line, when they ask like, "Oh, who was the father?" She could be like, "Oh, it was that lovely man, Alex, that you met at our family dinner one time." What do you think about this as an idea?
What do I think of this idea? I think it's a half-baked idea. Like, I think, because, like, I mean, Alex says it to himself. He's like, "You're going to be thinking of me in the future, like your family, and they're all going to fucking hate me. They're going to make a voodoo doll of me."
Yeah.
I would be like, no deal. But, I mean, I guess I understand the sentiment because, like, at least her family can put like a face to the father, to the name, and know that he was an intelligent guy with a job and like rather good looking. I don't know. So mm-hmm. I guess I understand where Isabel is coming from, but I also thought that Alex was very agreeable to this request.
I totally agree. I feel like this is such a wild request, especially because when they go there, they're like, "Oh, we're going to pretend we've already been dating. Like, here's the lowdown. Like, I have 5 brothers. Here are all their names in age order. Like, this is that. Like, they're pretending they've basically been dating these 3 months. And to me, like, to try to absorb all of that information in such a short amount of time, like, that just feels like so much and so much effort and work to only go and meet her family one time, basically so that her family knows who the father of her child is. But I did like this because they arrive and this family is massive. And the other thing we should mention is not only culturally are they very different, but their relationships to their families are very different. She sees her family once a week for family dinner. And we see how many people attend family dinner. Like, it is basically I am more like Matthew Perry or Alex, we're gonna do it. I see my extended family for holidays. I see my immediate family once a week, mm-hmm. but my extended family, I only see for holidays. She sees mm-hmm. basically her entire family once a week.
Yeah. I mean, totally. There's definitely gosh, like I know some of my closest friends are like Isabel's family where they go to Sunday dinner. They spend so much time together. They come over to take care of their children. Mm-hmm. And then there's me who I don't see my extended family like ever now. And I only see my mom and sister like twice a year. So, you know, I could not imagine spending every Sunday with my family. And I have a small family anyway. Like I really do. I've talked about this before. I have literally three cousins total on both sides. Mm-hmm. And like that's it. And it's just like how our family is. But when you come from a family that's super, super small and don't see each other that often, going into like a significant other's home whose family is so close-knit and loud and like crazy like that is very overwhelming.
Yeah, and I especially – one of my favorite moments was when she had, like, warned him that, like, one of her great aunts or something like that has, like, hearing loss in one of her ears, and so he has to speak loudly, and he's just shouting at one of the wrong aunt.
Well, he got a crash course, and he didn't even know her last name before that day. Like, he got a crash course in what it's like – to be Isabel Fuentes, and it was a lot of information to keep hold of. I'm impressed that he even remembered that there was an aunt that had a hearing issue.
Seriously, yes.
And then he mentioned the house in Mexico to Isabel's mother. I'm like, you know what? Not for nothing. I think that he's pulling this off pretty well.
I agree with you. I thought he was able to retain like a good portion of the information that she gave him. And of course, we get a moment where like one of the, I don't know, cousins, siblings, whoever has a small baby. And she's like, I need to go make myself a plate. Here, hold this baby.
Hold the baby.
And he's just like, what the fuck? And I hold the line.
Yeah.
This felt very Chandler Bing to me when she says, oh, make sure you support the head. And he's like, why? Is it going to pop off? Like,
what? Which I really do think it's just Matthew Perry's humor. Like I think that he imbues it into these characters, but this was a good moment for Isabel to see that even though this guy looks like this like playboy 20 something whatever, you know, he can there's just something really sweet about seeing somebody that you're developing feelings for hold a child that's not related to them. I witnessed this sort of thing with my significant other holding my best friend's baby. And I was like, okay, you got me. Like, there's just, I was like, you know, this is just really, really cute, really, really sweet, really, really special. And it's just like nice to see like a man, especially holding a baby that's not their own. I don't know. Maybe I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker. I'm a fool. I rush in, you know.
And so they like have this big connection that even despite all their differences, their families are super different, their cultures are very different,
religion
everything is so different, they're like super attracted to each other.
Yeah.
And he's the one who says like, why don't we do this thing? And like, this is the crazy thing, okay, because I don't think it's crazy to be like, let's start a relationship. Let's try to make it work. You know, like let's at least co-parent, right? No. Instead, they're like, let's get married.
And when in Vegas,
that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's because they live in Las Vegas, but they get married at a wedding chapel in Vegas with an Elvis impersonator. And they're very cute. And I do think that Matthew Perry and Salma Hayek have like really good chemistry, because I especially love the scene where they're married, they're at like a Vegas hotel, and he wakes up the next morning and he's like wondering where she is. And she's like standing there, like looking out at like the Vegas skyline. And he just like comes over and like snuggles into her. And I was like, oh my God, they have really, really good chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They very much do. I really liked them as a couple. Like, and I did like the fact that they came from different worlds, but were able to, like, I really do think that, like, Alex tried to incorporate himself into Isabel's like Mexican heritage and culture, I think, like, mm-hmm. especially because like they're not always speaking the same language. And like, I think that, I mean, like, obviously we see where Alex comes from, because later on when we meet Alex's parents, who are like, you know, they're racist. They have racial undertones.
Yeah.
I mean, they see Isabel and assume that she's the housekeeper, which is very stereotypical and very, then again, Alex fucks up and doesn't share anything
terrible
about Isabel yeah. to his parents. So he's a fucking coward in that regard. But, you know, like, I think that Alex, like, really did have a very open mind. And I thought that was sweet. Like, he really, really loved her.
And, yeah, it was interesting that, like, pretty much immediately he, like, it feels like he fell so hard so fast. Obviously, mm-hmm. her similarly. Like, it was just immediate. And it was interesting to watch them. They really, like, kind of led with their feelings instead yes. of, in my mind, like, I am more of a logistical person.
Boo.
And so I know I'm
Boo.
Not the most romantic.
I'm booing but it was, you.
But it was crazy to me how they're having some kind of, like, friendly dinner, like, friend dinner situation. And they're in his, like, some kind of condo or whatever that he has temporarily. And it's like very a man's condo where there's like no decorations. It's yeah. white. There's no like decor. There's no pictures on the walls, nothing. And they're like, she finds out like, oh, you don't live here full time. And he's like, no, I'm just here until my contract is up. And then I'm going back to New York.
Yeah. So this is the devil's conundrum. You can either live in New York City or you can live in Las Vegas. I'd rather die than live in either, to be honest with you. These are like the two worst case scenarios. I don't yeah. want to live in either.
Especially like Vegas is just so hot. Like,
So
I don't care. Miss me with like money to dry heat. Fuck off with that. No. Mm-hmm. It is still fucking hot and I would wilt. I would sweat and die.
Yeah. But New York City is so overly stimulating and it's pretty gross in the summer in its own right. I don't know. I mean, like, I went to Vegas for the first time about a year ago and it was kind of a hellhole.
I've been to Vegas one time in my life and I really did enjoy it. But like, to me, it's like a place you visit. It is not a place I would ever want to live. Also wouldn't ever want to live in New York City. But like, they're just, to me, I think it's just, right? This is meant to be like symbolic of how different they are, that the lifestyles in each of these places are just mm-hmm. so vastly. One is like the Southwest, one is the Northeast. Like,
if you had to choose, if you had to choose between Vegas and New York, if you had to.
So my question would be, does my family not matter? Like, does it not matter where they are? Like, are they living in whichever place I'm picking?
Yes.
Okay. Well, because that would matter to me. Like, I wouldn't want to move away from my family. So that would be tough.
I want to move farther away from my family, but no.
gosh, if I had to choose, I probably would choose New York City just because at least the climate is closer to what I'm used to.
Right.
But I really, really, I cannot express how much I dislike New York City. I've been, now I could say, I was on vacation. We went to Europe. I've been to Italy. I've been to Greece.
Yeah, why are you fucking flexy on me?
No, I'm just, the reason I'm saying
I've been
things,
to Israel and I've been to Iceland, bitch. And I've been to Bermuda and I've been to Nova Scotia. Where have you been?
Not enough places. But the reason I say this is because I've been to both of those cities and I prefer them over New York City 100-fold. Like, there is just no comparison. Yeah. New York City, to me, anytime I've ever been there, I've not had a good experience. It smells. It's hot. It's too busy. People are trying to sell you things. Leave me alone. Please don't ignore me. Don't look at me. And so I would have a really, really hard time. But
you know what city I love?
What?
Chicago. Great city.
Never and been. Boston. Would love to go.
Boston's great, too.
I do like Boston. I do like Boston.
New York can go drown in a ditch.
It really can. And I apologize to people who love it. The owl?
Seattle.
I do like Seattle, but the thing about Seattle is there's so many fucking hills. It's too much. It's too much for my thunder thighs to handle. I'll just say.
Everybody in Seattle has a great ass, though.
I mean, of course they do. They have amazing glutes. Can I just tell you, everyone in Europe is so fit that, like, anytime I went anywhere, because we were in more of a touristy type of area, most of the times they have two menus, one in, depending on if you're in, you know, Rome or Athens, like one in Greek and one in English. Mm-hmm. Not without question, every single time I get handed the English menu, they just know. They know immediately I'm pegged as American.
Just by looking at you?
Just by looking at me. I look American. And I'm pale. And help.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyway.
Where would you choose to live? We didn't ask this. If you,
I think New York.
One. Yeah. I mean, it's just more like what we're familiar with, right? Like, I say that would probably be why. But this is like a huge, huge, big deal. Like, I cannot emphasize how big of a fucking deal this is that they didn't have this conversation before they got married. That, like,
I mean,
hey,
all the conversations. I mean, I understand why both the parents of Isabel and Alex were like, you're not taking this seriously. Marriage is a really important thing. It reminds me of every season of Love is Blind when we get to the parents and the friends moments where it's just like, you're not taking marriage seriously. You've only known each other for 20 days. Like, marriage is like a sacred thing. It's forever. It's definitely a serious thing. Like, I know, like, you can just quote unquote get divorced, but it is, I think, like a sacred thing. Like, you know, like,
and it's a lot of paperwork to get divorced. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not
costly. It's very costly. Expensive.
It's just a lot. Like, it's a lot to just fools rush in, to just rush into. Yeah. And they really, I mean, I would say, like, Isabel, again, they really are polar opposites from one another. Isabel is very much like, things happen for a reason. Like, there's fate. She's superstitious. She's
very, spiritual. She has this, like, tradition that she does, that whenever she is on the Hoover Dam and she crosses from Arizona to Nevada, she throws this, like, big silver coin.
Yeah, what was that coin?
Maybe a half dollar? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, it was huge.
It was a very large coin. And she, like, throws it over the Hoover Dam and makes a wish. She also is always looking out for signs. She's Catholic and makes prayers to candles, goes to church. Alex comes from a Presbyterian family, but he's not practicing. But his parents are, like, you know, very... like, they seem to care about being called Presbyterian without the religious implications of what that means, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
they're like, we're Presbyterian, but, like, we don't go to church. And
this would be like the equivalent of me saying I'm Catholic, even though I have not, don't really believe in any of it and haven't attended church in so many years.
Yeah.
It's like they just want the stamp of, like, this is what we are. Or at the very least, they're like, well, the baby can't be raised Catholic because we're Presbyterian.
Right.
And so
it's very interesting to me because, like, it's not like, I don't know, like, it's not, it's very interesting, the different sectors of Christianity, because, like, to me, who is not raised Christian, I'm like, well, it feels like one and the same, really.
Honestly, most of not. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not the most knowledgeable, but, like, at least Christianity is, like, they're, like, cousins of one another. You know what I mean?
You would think, but then, like, apparently it's a big deal.
It's so stupid. Like, it's such a dumb thing to get hung up on, but again, whatever, right? Like,
it's not stupid to people that have the faith, though.
Exactly. It's like, it's very important to, and I understand kind of on both sides, or at least mostly on Isabel's family's side, where they are practicing Catholics and they do believe this thing and they want that baby to be raised in that belief system, right? Because the whole family believes that. And so, yeah, it's basically they're struggling with, well, what are we going to do? Like, where are we going to live? And basically, like, he agrees with her. She says, okay, I will live here until the baby is born, and then we will move to New York.
I think that's reasonable. She has
that
a doctor
is a huge sacrifice for
yes,
her.
It is. But I think it's reasonable. She has a doctor that she's comfortable with, like, which is really, really important. Her mother is there. She can, like, guide it. I think that for her to be like, yes, like, I want to give birth in Nevada. I want to be near my family during the pregnancy. But then afterwards, I will go to New York with you. Now, throughout this whole time, we see Alex struggling with his career, because at first his career was the most important thing. But now Isabel and his blooming family becomes the most important thing. And he's starting to slack. We see this, like, you know, the job sites are not getting checked thoroughly enough. They're not passing code. Mm-hmm. People are not wearing their hard hats. This giant sign falls on the OSHA inspector's car. It's a fucking disaster. And basically, his boss is like, you got 3 weeks to figure this out. And you got to fix this. And then on top of that, I'm bringing you back to New York to work on a club in New York.
Yeah, and this is before, like, the baby is supposed to be due.
Exactly.
Basically. He's so going to have to return sooner.
Yeah, and he agrees to it, and he breaks the deal. Like, you
and
know,
he does, but he doesn't tell Isabel. That's the other thing. He lets her find out at the, like, club opening.
Yeah.
And she is, like, again, like, she has been renovating his, like, apartment, like, making it nice. Yeah. And
well, I mean, nice is in the eye of the beholder.
Very Southwest.
I hate color. And it is so, it was like,
that's the end of it. You think you're going to say more, but that was the end. That was where the period was. It's just, I hate color.
Yeah. I mean, like, the house was red and orange and green and yellow. It was
very Southwest inspired.
Every color. There was a giant cross with Jesus hung. It was a lot.
It was very,
I mean, for somebody, like I said, that very much likes neutrals and her grays and her soft blues and, like, serene colors. It was alarming.
It's a lot, but she's just decorating it, like, you know, to fit her style, her culture, the area they're living in, which is the Southwest, which is very, like, muddy reds and kind of burnt oranges and siennas, you know.
Ooh, sienna, that's a good one.
And it is, like, it's a lot. And she has also, I don't know, we never got notified of the Chihuahua, but, like, I feel like this should have been a conversation of, like, hey, by the way, I have a teeny tiny dog I'm going to bring into our home.
That's a terror, which, honestly, okay. So, number one, in my defense of somebody that brings in a dog that's kind of a terror to a relationship.
Yeah.
You get used to your dog that's a terror, and you don't realize how much of a terrorist they are.
Well, he, you know, and luckily Alex ends up loving the little Chihuahua. I love when he ends up being back in New York and he sees a man with, like, a Chihuahua on the street, and, like, you just see in his eyes, like, oh, I miss my little Chihuahua.
I love Chihuahuas. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't.
I really, that is one of the three dogs I would get.
See, I'm the opposite, where a Chihuahua is nearly last on my list of any dog I would own, because they're known for their little yappy barks and being quite aggressive and nasty. Mm. And there's just not anything I want in my house.
Okay, this is what I want. So there's, like, different types of Chihuahuas. There's applehead Chihuahuas, deer head Chihuahuas, and then, like, a hybrid. And there's long haired Chihuahuas and short haired Chihuahuas.
Okay.
My dream Chihuahua is a long haired apple headed Chihuahua.
Okay.
If anybody breeds Chihuahuas and they have apple-headed, long-haired Chihuahuas, give me a call, because that is my dream dog.
And how do you think Adam would feel about this?
Oh, he's already vetoed it. But
I kind of thought that, yeah.
Yeah. He's very – I mean, the face that he made when I was talking about this was not good. But sorry. I mean, it's going to happen. They're so cute.
This
one's my favorite. I got to show you this picture.
Great. Here we go.
So fucking cute. I can't.
I just don't get the appeal. They're just so yappy and mean. They're like, I've never met a nice Chihuahua.
Well, that's true. My friend Johnny's Chihuahua is a really big cunt.
Well, okay. Then Okay. So the picture you sent me, I'm going to describe this animal.
Hold on. Hold on. This one too. This one too.
Okay. It's very similar looking. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. I thought you said this one too, like a different chihuahua.
It's well, I don't know if it's the too. Same one, but it's the, okay. That's the chihuahua that I want.
So this chihuahua is like a chocolatey brown color with, I would say, like tan accents. Like it has tan eyebrows and like tan around the mouth and muzzle, and then a little bit of like a white chest. It has long hair. Its ears are cute. I will give it that. It has ears that kind of stick up. They kind of like, they come to little points, but they're kind of like circly on the sides. It has bulbousy eyes, brown eyes.
Well, that's what I like.
And I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of the bulby eyes, and it has a little pink button nose, I would say. I will agree with you. I am a long hair dog bitch. I can't do short hair dogs because I don't like how the hair just like gets in the threads of your clothes and like, at least with long hair, it kind of tumbleweeds up. Short hair doesn't do that. And I want to snuggle an animal like I want to snuggle a stuffed animal. You know what I mean? I want it to be soft and cuddly.
Yes.
But I can't with the chihuahuas. And this chihuahua wasn't long hair. It was short hair. It was like a tan short this hair. It was like the Taco Bell
Taco one. Bell slash Paris Hilton chihuahua.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, as they kind of connect and meet, they realize there's like so much they haven't told each other. The biggest no-no was when his parents come to visit, because that fucking bitch Kathy asked Stuart, what a full-on bitch. She finds out, because she happens to run into Isabel and overhears Isabel talking about Alex, that Isabel is now married to Alex. So she calls up her parents and is like, I heard Alex is doing something. Maybe you should tell the Whitmans to go visit. They go visit, think Isabel is the housekeeper because Alex didn't tell them anything about her. And he told Isabel that they were on like a European vacation. And Sarah, the audacity of these bitches to be like, you know, we'd never summer in Europe in the summer. It's far too busy with the tourists. Fucking yeah. Bitches.
Yeah. But they go in the winter. Yeah. I was interested because like I did think that Kathy notified the parents, but the parents really did seem surprised. So it seems like Kathy gave like half information.
I'm pretty sure she was just like, oh, I think you should go visit Alex. I think that's all she said.
He's up to very interesting things right now.
Yes.
So then we get like the old parents meeting parents thing. What was it like when the Sterlings met the Affertys? Was this interesting?
Yeah. So they met, and I'm trying to remember the circumstances around them meeting. It was close to us. Like it was near our hometown. I can't remember why, because they definitely met before we got married, but we all went out to dinner together. We went out to like an Italian dinner together, which is funny because neither of our families are Italian. And yeah, it went really well. Like, to be honest, our families aren't extremely different in that, like, both of our families grew up in the Northeast, in New York specifically. His family is from Long Island, but my family is, you know, my mom's family at the very least is from downstate. So they're kind of similar in that way. Irish Catholic, like there's a lot of similarities between the two families. So they had a decent bit to talk about. There was nothing really notable about them meeting. They don't have, I would say both of our parents are very, very kind to people they don't know. They're not, they don't have like specific beliefs that like, if you're against them, that's it. So luckily it went really well, definitely better than this did.
Yeah. So it seems like the moms were pretty chill. They just wanted to love. They were just happy to be there and drinking their margaritas and happy to support their children. The dads got along at first because they were both hating on their children.
Yes.
And then like when the other one was like, you're talking shit about my child, I want to fucking kill you. So then they started like fighting each other. It didn't go well with the dads.
No. And this, I mean, the other thing is, so his family is in Las Vegas, right? Again, they're very white, very waspy. They're stupid as fuck because they didn't put sunscreen on. And they're like, his mom's face is full on like in a margarita, just like zonked out to the world.
She's going swimming in the margarita, yeah.
And then they have the audacity to blame her family for the fact that they get so fucking sunburnt. It's like, it's your fault that you said yourself, like he said, be careful. The sun is very strong here. Like we're closer to the equator and blah, 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 blah. And they're just like, oh, we'll stay in the shade.
We'll stay in the shade. They got sunburned. They're not happy. I mean, they're white and pasty. Are we surprised?
Stupid.
They are stupid. So let's move forward a little bit to the drama. So the drama is at the Christmas party, nope, at the club opening, yes. In the beginning, or not in the beginning, at the club opening that happened, we find out that Alex has to go to New York ASAP. Isabel is really upset, understandably, because she wasn't told. They get into a fight outside of the club, and Alex says something like so vile.
It was awful.
Yeah, he says something along the lines of like, I should have never put like that $5 ring on your finger. Ugh. Like, I shouldn't have married you, like blah blah blah. And she understandably is like, fuck you, I am leaving. But she earlier was having some complications like with her pregnancy, like she was like cramping up and stuff, winds up in the hospital. Alex goes and finds her, is very panicked because he loves her. He feels really bad right away about what he said. And she says, I lost the baby, and he believes her. So they break up. She lives out the rest of her pregnancy in Mexico.
Worth noting that he does try to come back like the next day to the hospital, but she's like already gone at that point.
She's gone. He brought really beautiful flowers. I wanted those flowers.
Yeah, he thinks that the baby is gone and that she is gone, and he doesn't really know.
I don't even know if he has her phone number still.
Well, he said to his assistant at one point, oh, can you write down my wife's phone number?
I think that he never got the phone number.
Probably not.
So, and then, like, her five brothers show up to the house and move out all of her stuff and take back the dog.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, he moves back to New York, continues to be a workaholic, is not playing around at all. Even Tom can't even get Alex to go out.
Yeah, he's like really heartbroken. And then he served divorce papers where they say, and I don't know what this is, how divorce works or anything when you're served, but they were like, you have 5 days to contest this, basically. And
wait, what does that mean to contest? Basically, like, I don't want to get divorced.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I think, like, from my memory, obviously, it depends, like, if it's like if there's abuse or any kind of that stuff going on or adultery or anything, there's probably exceptions. But I think you are allowed to, like, basically say, like, no, I want to work this out. And then you're contesting the divorce, and it's not as simple as, like, boom, you're divorced. Oh. But he, because, like, we said before, he's much more of a skeptic, where she is very much like believes in fate and signs and all that stuff. He gets several signs, like he runs into a priest that tells him to like watch out for guidance. He sees a little cute little chihuahua that looks like her chihuahua.
A Kodak billboard about like an Arizona thing.
And then when he's supposed to be going, he agrees to go on this like two family trip with Kathy, where they're going to take a freaking helicopter because they're like, Richie Richardson.
That helicopter was huge. It was like, I've never seen a bigger helicopter.
I don't know, but I'm like, you guys are the freaking whitest, richest people ever. So when he's there, he sees a little Latino girl whose name is Isabel. And so he's just like, okay, this is enough. Like, I've learned to know I need to go visit her. So he ends up going all the way to Mexico, where she was staying with her grandmother. So he meets her grandmother. And I love that her grandmother was like, again, she's very much a piece of Isabel, where she's like, oh, this is your one true love, you know, like this is who you're meant to be with. But of course, simultaneously, Isabel has left and is going back to Vegas have her baby.
To have her baby, because she's like about to be due. Now, I do want to point out I really liked the fact that he kept seeing these signs, and somebody who wasn't super spiritual, like he he like listened to Isabel and her beliefs and started seeing these signs and listening to them. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, like, I've only experienced this sensation once in my life where it was like I was actively like looking or like hoping for signs, and like mm-hmm. there was just so many things that just like fell in line, and it felt like very affirming. And like I said before, like I'm not very religious. I am pretty superstitious and I guess a little spiritual, but like it really is comforting when you're feeling like lost in the world and you're like really hoping for some guidance mm-hmm. to get like active signs. Like it feels like, okay, I'm like doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, it's very funny. This moment of the movie kind of reminds me of the movie Serendipity, which we haven't covered yet. And I really
I haven't seen it. And it's one of your favorites.
It is. I mean, it is one of my favorites to the point where I literally have a tattoo that says the word serendipity on me. Like, mm-hmm. And it's funny because I would say anybody who knows me wouldn't really equate me with the word serendipity, because it is much more of a like spiritual, like kind of everything has its moment and things happen for a reason. But it does remind me of that movie in a way where it's like, sometimes there are just like happy little accidents. Like I love a happy little accident, you know, it's just like, I do believe in happy little accidents that kind of just propel your life forward. And I love that he sees these things and real, and obviously he still loved her. It wasn't seeing these signs that like made him fall in love with her. He had always loved
her. He was already thinking about her.
Yeah. And so he goes to find her and she's going back to Vegas. And I love so he goes to the Hoover Dam, which is very important to her. We have several scenes at the Hoover Dam all mm-hmm. about how like her family helped build it. And she loves to throw a coin and make a wish. And he's standing there and it rains. And I'm like, damn, that must be like, it never rains in Las
Vegas, like a one in a million chance. Like yeah. It never rains in Nevada. It's the desert.
Yeah. And so he's standing there. And she is like driving and suddenly he stops her and she's of course wearing this huge like poncho. So you can't right away tell that she's like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to wear a poncho inside my car.
It's ridiculous. But he stops her and they have this whole, you know, kind of like a notebooky moment where it's like, oh, I still love you and blah, 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 blah. And he realizes that she's still pregnant. And this, okay, this is funny because I was watching this with my husband and he had never seen this movie. And so when she told him she lost the baby, he was like, oh my God, that is like absolutely devastating. Like, this is terrible. And so then when we find out that she had lied, he was like really upset with her. And I it. Because it's fucked up to lie about. Because that's like very traumatic.
I knew as soon as she said that she lost the baby, I was like, there's no way she's not pregnant, especially when she went to Mexico. But I'm not surprised that Will is very... He's such a Libra. He's very like just and like, you know, like things have to be like,
there are laws there are things that have to, you have to follow the rules about certain things. And that was like,
I'm not surprised that he was pissed off about that. Is like a so very pissed. Will thing to be like, take offense to. I mean, like, yeah, like it was really fucked up. And like, honestly, that sort of lie, like she says, like, you lied to me, so I lied to you. Like,
that's not the same.
I don't think that it's like weighted the same.
It's not equitable. I mean, lying to
your significant other is bad in general, of course, but like this is actually like it's his child, so he has the right to know if the baby survived or not. And I do think it's like very fucked up. And she like thinks that she's justified, like she's like, you know, he, in her mind, he wanted to leave, so I gave him that out so he didn't have to take it. But once again, like that was her opinion and it wasn't fact. So it was fucked up.
It's really awful, especially and like, I don't know, he could have had such a worse reaction to that, you know, like obviously he doesn't have too much time to think because like 2 seconds later, she's in labor.
I just think that down the line, it's going to be a point of contention for this couple. But I guess we're just going to put a pin in that. We don't have time for it because we're having the baby in the middle of the Hoover Dam.
This is – okay, gosh. I've never had a child, obviously, right? We've talked about mm-hmm. this. But every time I see a birthing scene on a film, I'm like, did they consult a single doctor? Because there is absolutely 0% chance that she would be like, oh, my water broke. we don't have time to go to the hospital. We're going to have this baby right here, right now. It's just not how it happens.
It takes like 12 plus hours.
So long. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And like, the other thing is I'm surprised we didn't get like the baby's name. Cause I like, obviously they end up having a little girl and I could have swore. Cause
I knew they were going to have a girl.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just knew it.
Interesting. Are you someone who like is always able to predict the sex of people's like babies that they have?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
That's interesting. But I was surprised we didn't get the baby's name because I thought they were going to like end it with like a, and we named our baby Hope or we named our baby Faith or like Bliss. You know what I mean? Like something like that. I could have sworn it was going to be like a little bit, I don't know, like silly or I can't think of the word for it. But
I think it's going to be something that is like ties into her Mexican heritage, but is like familiar enough to be like Americanized, you know?
I mean, like Isabel is a good example of that.
Well, you know? Yeah, but that's her name.
No, I know, I know. I'm just saying
Isabel like, Jr.
Isabel Jr. is
Isabel Jr. Happy birthday, Isabel Jr.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And but they end up getting back together and like as the movie ends, like she's in the ambulance getting ready to be taken away and he takes a coin, kisses it and tosses it over the Hoover Dam.
I got it. Sophia with an F.
That's it. You nailed it. That's the baby's name. Yeah. 1000%. That's the baby's name. Yeah.
Is that it? Is that the movie?
That's the rest of the movie. Yeah. Like that's the whole thing.
Yeah, it was good. I like it.
It's cute. A cute rom-com, right? Like, I think it just, I don't know. I think it's a cute one. I don't think, like, everything. Obviously, like, the parents being, like, fucking complete assholes. Like, just so racist and just offensive to her entire family.
Yeah.
It's just not cool. Especially when, again, like, she's very, very, very close to her family. And they're obviously not. Like, it just seems like... It seems like, I don't know. I don't know if there was like intention behind it, but Alex is not close with his family at all. Like and it could be situational where he moved to New York City and he just doesn't connect with them much. Or it could be, he's like, I don't believe what they believe in. I don't really want to be associated with them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're trash bags, but I'm glad that I watched this movie. I'm glad that, you know, it's really interesting. Like as much as like I've seen so many 90s movies, blah, 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 but there's still so much that I have not seen. So this was a pleasure. And it was nice seeing, I mean, we haven't really talked, I don't think we've ever talked about Salma Hayek in this show. I mean, she's kind of just a constant in Hollywood. Like she's been in a lot and, you know, she's gorgeous and delightful. And then, you know, the reason why we're here today, Matthew Perry, it's just, you know, like Alex fucked up a little bit, but mostly he was a very likable guy. And like, I'm thinking back to You've Got Mail, like, you know, the male protagonist or like the male, like, oh my God, what is his name? Tom Hanks.
Oh,
Tom
Hanks. Yeah.
He was kind of a trash bag in that movie. It's just nice to like, see the guy and like the guy.
I agree. Like, I think that he made mistakes, but it was never a question of whether or not he loved Isabel, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was so obvious that they were head over heels for each other instantly. And I love that. And I do think a lot of that is owed to Matthew Perry's like natural charisma. So I'm really happy we got a chance to not only talk about this movie, which is a really light, fun rom-com. Like I would definitely say this is a movie where if you're having like a day where it's like rainy and cold and you don't want to go outside, you just want to like have some soup under a blanket, this is a good movie for that kind of a day. And I'm just really happy that we got to reflect on Matthew Perry a little bit in his career, just because like I said, I think he was so influential to both of us. And I think, gosh, so much of his comedy is just my sense of humor, like growing up with that. So I just think it's really important to kind of mention him. And again, there's the Matthew Perry Foundation that we can link in the show notes as well. Because like I said, it's just a really devastating loss, I think, that that we've all experienced. And it's gone too soon and in such a like tragic way, you know, like it wasn't like he was sick or anything. It's just, it's really tough. And I you know, everyone go watch some Friends if you want to. Give yourself a couple of laughs. There's so many good Friends episodes that literally you can. I always said this, Sarah, and I think they now have it on some streaming platforms. I always said I wished that like I could go to Friends on a streaming app and do like a shuffle button and mm-hmm. it would pick a random episode of Friends for me.
Yeah.
Because I think like sometimes that's all you need. You don't necessarily want to pick one. You just want to be given an episode.
Yeah. You could go to, you know, like randomnumber.org and then put in like the amount that's of episodes true. And then just like find the episode.
Yeah. So go do that and give yourself a little bit of a sunny moment yeah. in your yeah. day.
Hold on. How many Friends episodes?
Oh God, 200 something?
Are there? Let's see. There is 236. You're right.
Nailed it.
And then now we're going to go to random number generator.
And this is what episode everyone has to watch.
Yep. Episode 44. Now I have to do
what is episode
44 of Friends? Hopefully it's a good one. The one where Yeller is that right?
The one where old Yeller dies? I remember that one. That's the one where Phoebe is like never got to watch the endings of sad movies because her mom was always afraid that it was going to bum them out too much. And so she watches a bunch of those movies' endings and just really, really makes herself sad.
That's depressing. Yeah. Yeah. That is the 44th episode of Friends. There
you go. Go watch that episode of Friends today, everyone.
Yeah. I guess everyone's dying for that. That seems like a terrible one to... watch, but that's whatever.
Really funny. That's what you picked.
I didn't pick it. The random number generator did. That wasn't me. I was hoping for the margaritas episode. That's the one that I'd like to watch.
That was really funny.
Margaritas.
You mean the fajitas when Ross makes? I made fajitas.
No, he said margaritas.
Well, he also makes margaritas. Yeah, that's the same episode. That's a really late episode. But yeah. So what else do we have going on, Sarah? We have Winovember.
Yeah, so we're going to watch Edward Scissorhands later in the month, and we are also finishing up our coverage of Freaks and Geeks. We have two more podcast episodes, three more TV show episodes to cover, mm-hmm. and then we are also starting Felicity this month. So a brand new show for us to cover. We're very excited.
Yes.
So keep your eyes peeled out for that and all your podcaster apps of choice. And you can find us at Shit 90s Pod and keep up with us.
Yes, absolutely. Over on Pusher Recaps, you can catch me. I'm on Full Spoiler Recaps. I don't think I have too much else going on at the moment, but of course you could always follow me at The Just Sterling to see what I'm up to. I'm just returning back to vacation from vacation. This is my first podcast since I was on vacation. So
yeah, you feeling like, a little rusty?
Yeah. I gotta like, you know, break in. I gotta like my
get
seat,
the cobwebs
you know?
Out.
Yeah, sweep out the cobwebs. I gotta get my butt print back in my seat. You know how it is.
I hate when it bounces back.
Anyway, that's what we're up to. And yeah, we're going to be back soon with a ton more content. So stay tuned. Thank you everyone for joining us today. And we will talk to you all next time. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.